Well, hey, I am here with Drew Berryessa from A Living Letter Ministries. I've got his book, Are We There Yet? I've gone through the book, read it, listened to it on Audible twice, love the book, would very much recommend it, especially if you personally or someone you know and care about is dealing with sexual identity issues and Christianity and how that stuff all gets confusing and difficult to deal with. He's gone through all kinds of stuff and worked through it, and it's really, really a helpful book. Are We There Yet? So, Drew, so glad you're here.
Yeah.
Fantastic to be able to sit down and talk and share with other people, yeah, our conversation.
Absolutely. I'm so overjoyed to be here with you, Mike. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, I wanted to talk about something that is related to your testimony and your ministry, but not exactly the same thing, because you have had to deconstruct your sexuality and your faith and how that all interacts. And in the heterosexual community, we just don't have to deal with that.
Right.
We just sort of like, uh-oh, not supposed to have that feeling. And you just kind of, honestly, for most people, that's the extent of
right.
the, you know, going through the process of trying to figure out what's going on is like,
right.
oh, shouldn't do that. And I think the process that you've gone through really helps bring up so many things that can help everybody.
Yeah.
Because sexual brokenness is a universal human condition.
Absolutely right.
You know? And yeah. when we think that it's only one community or, you know, those people,
right.
we're just lying to ourselves. And the history of the church has demonstrated that.
Right.
All through sexual abuse in the church and, you know, the pastor running off with the secretary and whatever, right. all these different things.
Right.
And just the state of marriage in the church.
Absolutely.
Has really shown that we've got a whole lot to learn. And so I think you're a fantastic resource. I appreciate your honesty and your willingness to receive the scriptures as the holy word of God
right.
rather than, you know, just some cultural idea that
right.
we can throw off to the side while we try to figure out real problems.
right, right.
So,
as if sexuality isn't a real problem.
Right. or that the scriptures really have nothing to say about it.
Right.
You know, yeah. That's one of the big things to me is as Christians, you know, yeah, okay, the Bible's our book. We're not going to read it.
Hmm.
You know, we're not going to actually seek true answers for real questions from
right,
it.
Right.
But, you know, that's our book and we'll say all the things we're supposed to say while it gathers dust on the side.
Right.
So to look at sexuality with all of the real life implications and struggles, but also looking scripturally at, well, if the Bible says this is wrong,
right?
Now what do we do?
Right.
And that is just such an honest, faith-filled place to be. And so I really appreciate that. So let's go ahead. Let me ask a couple of questions and we'll see where we go. One thing in culture, you know, is this idea that, you know, you're born who you are and you're just sort of stuck with that.
Right.
And in the idea of sexual identity, that of course is an important part of our cultural understanding.
Right.
But in the Christian world, there's the idea of change essential to the gospel. You know,
right.
we're born again.
Right.
You know, used to be like that. Now I'm like this. The old is gone. The new has come. I'm a new creation.
Right.
And so we understand that transformational reality of God making a difference in our lives. But even with that, I think there are a lot of Christians who feel stuck.
Yeah.
They, you know, have an addiction to pornography, or they have thoughts going through their head that they know shouldn't be going through their head. And yeah, okay, they're not officially cheating on their spouse.
Right.
But from the Sermon on the Mount perspective
right.
of if you look at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery in your heart.
Yep.
They are completely stuck in that.
Yep, absolutely.
And are at a place of kind of despair. Like, I know we're supposed to have transformation, but how do we actually grab hold of it?
Mm.
And in your life, if you don't grab hold of that transformation, it's obvious and it's, you know, it's just at the front. And for, you know, heterosexual person like me, you know, we can stick it behind where other people don't see it.
Sure.
And so we don't actually always have to deal with it. We can kind of pretend it's not there. So I want to talk about transformation and how we can help just everybody deal with that. So let me ask a couple of just very broad questions and have you talk more than me. The first broad question is, what do you think is the most important part in really grabbing hold of transformation rather than just trying to have self-control? You know, untransformed, but having self-control versus like, wow, this is starting to change. What are the most important parts of grabbing hold of that?
That's a really, really great question. I think that, you know, there's multiple levels to this. And, you know, this isn't in chronological order. So
sure. Yeah, we'll just let it free flow.
We'll free flow this. We'll chase these squirrels around, as you say.
Sounds good.
Yes. So I think one of the first things is just a matter of understanding the authority of the scripture and the Holy Spirit and God to dictate the details of my life.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've heard an apologist once say that we don't have a morality problem in our culture. We have an authority problem because the reflections of immorality that we see in our culture are often people just taking authority and autonomy over their decisions, their choices, and their destiny, rather than saying, okay, God, what do you say I am required to do? How do you say I'm required to live? What do you say I need to do with temptation and with these, you know, desires or urges that come up in my life? And so I know for me, before I ever had anything else to start with, I had to start with, is God authoritative in my life? Does he have the permission and the right to be the one to define me, to direct me, to qualify whether my motivations and my actions are good or bad? Like, where do I go for that authority? And for the world, you know, for lack of a better term, their authority is not in the scripture. It's not in the word of God. It's not in the presence of God. It's not in who he is. And in many ways, they are looking to their own inclinations and culture to establish authority.
Right.
So a good example is someone who feels attraction to the same sex, or someone who feels the lack of comfort in their own biological gender, they look to culture and their feelings to define and give authority to how they should live. So if I feel this way, then culture tells me I can change my gender. I can pursue these urges or these desires because that's what's right and good for me. And so the authority is given by culture to culture and to our own humanity, our own desire, our own will to set the course. But as a believer, I don't have that right. I have to go to the Word of God as my authority.
Right.
And even if I don't like what it says, even if what it says is difficult and consequential, it's still my authority. So one of the ways that played out in my life is, you know, I didn't hope to have a transformed experience in my sexual orientation, because the world told me that it wasn't possible. And, you know, that was secondary. Before anything else, I had to establish, am I going to be obedient to God's word? And that might look like a lifetime of celibacy and being alone for me, because I didn't have permission, according to the word of God, to indulge in the desires that felt very natural. And I didn't have the authority to manipulate the word of God to change it, to accommodate this, or do some hybrid of life where I'm like, well, I'm mostly Christian. There's no such thing.
Yeah. You know? It's like, exactly.
So that place of authority first kind of had to be that place of deconstruction, because I wasn't deconstructing my faith. I was deconstructing Christian culture that was informing how to live my faith.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, in that regard, a lot of the things that I was being told and taught in my church environment weren't actually very life-giving, and they weren't helpful.
Right.
And they weren't effective, but the word of God was.
Yeah.
And so, you know, coming to this place, like for a very, very clear example from my own life of, say, having a homosexual thought or desire that would come up. So The first deconstruction that I had to do, Christian culture versus the Word of God, was how do I evaluate that thing that comes up? Because my culture and a lot of Christianity wrongly says that to be homosexually oriented is sinful.
Sure.
Well, first, let me say that also the deconstruction of culture to say, what is orientation? Like, and is that something I'm experiencing or is it something that I am? And so I had to Huge. Deconstruct that. And that, of course, went right back to the Word of God as the authority to tell me who I am, not culture, not right. interpretation of science, not any of those things, but rather just to say, God, who do you say that I am? And so when a thought would come up, I first had to evaluate, okay, I'm not my experience or my feelings. Mm-hmm. So that automatically gave me a little bit more wiggle room to say, this isn't who I am, it's what I'm experiencing. So I have a choice in how I then react and respond to what I'm experiencing.
Yeah. And that's such an important point that, you know, in the Christian world, we've read the book of Romans.
Right.
And we've had the wonderful opportunity to be able to separate our failures, the things we're disappointed about ourselves in.
Right.
You know, the Christian word, our sin, from who we are.
Right.
Those are profoundly separated in the scriptures.
Right.
And so I am not my failures. I am right. not the things that I see that aren't consistent with the scriptures. Right. That's something that is separated from the essence of who I am.
Right.
That then is crucified with Christ when I put my faith in Christ, and right. then I can get free from that and live in the newness of what God has done for me and
right.
that more pristine essence of who God meant for me to be in the first place rather
right.
than all this other stuff.
Right.
So that authority idea of taking the scriptures as authoritative, I think is
right.
huge.
Right.
For a lot of people though, they feel that when you take the scriptures as authoritative, that then that kind of squashes you as a person, like, oh no, I have to obey all of these things that are oppressive and difficult. And so I'm going to be thrown into, I think, what you called the desert of obedience.
Right, you know? Right. Yep, yep.
And there's a fear of the desert of obedience.
Right.
You know, like I can, you know, like in your, the way you described it, you know, lifelong celibacy.
Right.
That's a heavy burden to bear.
Absolutely.
You know, and the Apostle Paul says, you know, one has this gift, another has that.
Yep.
And he's like, you know what? I can do that.
Right.
But there's a recognition in the scriptures, not everybody's going to be able to do that.
Right.
Because that's a big ask.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely, yeah.
So then if all of us are going to be honest and say, okay, we have sexual thoughts, we have inclinations that are not in line with the authority of scripture.
Right.
Now what do I do?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I want to ask you a question. We've never talked about this.
Right, right.
But the idea of authority is so important because, you know, we start with the authority of God, the authority of the scriptures, and how that is a higher authority than our opinions.
Right.
You know, I can think whatever I want to think, but if God says this, he's right and I'm wrong and I need to be the one that makes the adjustment.
Yes.
Because God's not wrong.
Right.
But one of the great things about Jesus is he imparted authority on his believers.
Right.
So that then they had authority, you know, famously given to his disciples as they went out to go to the towns that Jesus was going to preach at later to kind of prepare the way.
Right.
And, you know, he says, go heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, you know, go mm-hmm. go do some work. And
right.
they came back and they're like, hey, even the demons, you know, obeyed us
right.
because they had been given authority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's where it transitions, you know, from like something I need to conform to that can feel like a heavy blanket, though, you know, that's really the wrong way to look at it.
Yeah.
Because if, let's say that you've got complicated taxes and you make a whole bunch of money and you have a high level tax attorney and they say you need to do it like this and this and this and this, mm-hmm. then you're happy to do that because right. you know it's going to work out better for
right.
you. You don't understand it, and you might say, yeah, but I want to buy an expensive car.
Right.
And they'll say, you know what? You're better in this tax shelter.
Right.
And but you know for sure that this tax attorney has great advice, is going to help you out right. financially in the long run, and that's how we need to see the scriptures, you know?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
God's trying to help us.
Yeah.
That's what the rules are for.
Yeah, and even more than that, his authority comes from the fact that he made us. Like, he knows
right.
us. It's not just like helping us or trying to be helping us avoid mistakes. It's that this is a God who is so intimately acquainted with our makeup and who we are,
right.
how we function, and how we best will flourish, that when he sets boundaries for us, and really I like to look at it in those terms and as boundaries of behavior, boundaries of our affections and boundaries of how we operate. Even the authority that he gave the disciples, he gave them within the context of the boundaries that he establishes his own authority. They yeah. didn't get to go in their own authority and cast out demons.
Right.
They went in the authority of Christ.
Absolutely.
And there were so many things like that, and there are things now that when we understand that the boundaries that God puts out for us, expressed in his commandments or the prohibitions in scripture, they're coming not from a place of trying to rob us of flourishing. They come from a place of the designer who knows exactly how yep. we flourish best. And so that's where when we add that to the authority conversation, because a lot of us in our experience of worldly authority have had really bad authority figures.
Sure, absolutely.
That have been controlling and manipulating, and they have not had our best in mind.
Right, and they've been wrong.
Yeah. And they've been wrong because yeah. they've got an earthly perspective.
Yeah.
But this authority is so good
right.
and so for us that when we get to agree with that or place faith in that reality, then we can actually resonate with when the word says in I think the Psalms, your law is life. You know,
right.
it's like this is good and life-giving for us when we submit our own authority to establish what we feel is good, because we know the scripture also says there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to death.
Right.
But we know that when the Lord establishes a path for us, it's going to be good and ultimately yeah. for our benefit.
And that is a huge thing to grasp, the Christian really understanding that God is good.
Yeah.
That God is trying to help you, that you have an advocate
yeah.
in the Lord, and mm-hmm. someone who wants to help you and not
yep.
hurt you, wants to lift you up and not condemn you,
right.
wants to bring you into the fullness of who you truly are rather than leave you stuck in something
right.
less.
Absolutely.
Then that combination of the understanding the love of God
mm-hmm.
and the power of God, and then the authority of God, that authority is no longer oppressive then.
Right.
Because we view it the right way. You know, going back to the tax attorney
yeah.
example, okay, that the tax attorney, assuming they're on your side and wanting what's best for you, is really smart, knows all these things, and is trying to help you out. And
right.
so you can go to that tax attorney and be excited that you're getting help
right.
with something you don't know how to sort out.
Right, exactly.
And when we can see God that way,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's going to help us with things we're having trouble sorting out.
Absolutely.
He's
right.
going to bring us into something good. This has been a fruitful conversation. I hope you've enjoyed talking with us about transformation. So God bless. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to One-on-One with Pastor Mike, with your host, Pastor Mike Stevens of Good Hope Church in Cloquet, Minnesota. One-to-One is a special edition of the Chasing Squirrels with Pastor Mike podcast. Next week, Pastor Mike continues an in-depth discussion with Drew Berryessa from A Living Letter Ministries about biblical sexuality and transformation. As always, be sure to subscribe to be notified of new episodes. That's all for this week. We hope you join us next week on One-to-One with Pastor Mike.